Well, last year I attended a carol service in Knowlton Parish Church in Bridgend. My daughter was singing in it, and she'd sung for a number of years, and we would go along, and there would be about 300 or 400 folk, and it was a traditional carol service. There was readings from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, from Isaiah, from Micah, from Hosea, and readings from the Gospels as well. It was a traditional carol service, and it was wonderful to be there. This year I went to a local carol service, another school one. Well, it wasn't really a carol service. It was a Christmas event, and I enjoyed it, but it felt quite empty because Christ was not at that event. There were many other items. Many of the items were enjoyable and fun, but Jesus wasn't there. We didn't sing hardly a carol. I don't think we actually sang one. There was no reading of the Bible, and it felt quite empty. You see, Christmas without Christ is empty. There would be no Christmas at all if Jesus Christ hadn't come into the world. The very reason we have Christmas is that we are remembering an historic event. We read from the Gospel of Luke. A decree went forth. Caesar Augustus made it. Everybody had to go to the hometown to be registered. He was going to collect taxes. And Joseph and Mary went to their birth town, to Bethlehem. And there the Christ child was born. And it's staggering. Throughout the world, millions of people are remembering the birth of that little baby in Bethlehem, believing him to be the Son of God and worshipping him. Believing that he not only was born into this world, but he lived a glorious life, performing miracles, never once sinning, offering that life upon the cross at Calvary, rising from the dead, and now being alive in heaven, ready to save all who call upon him. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. He's not a light for some countries and some peoples, nor is he a light over angels or spirits. He's not just a light for himself or for his Father, but he is the light of the world. He alone dispels darkness. He alone throws light into the soul of men and women. He alone reveals God as a marvelous, glorious light. He alone reveals truth. He is the light of the world. John's Gospel tells us this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Though millions across the world and throughout the centuries have come to the light and have believed in him, think of by the 4th century after Christ, there were masses of Christians. And they said of the Christians in those days, they're different from us because they visit people who are dying of cholera. The Christians, they show dignity to women. They visit the prisoner. These people are different. They have a living faith. Christianity grown. And now throughout the world, you'll see countless people worshipping God, and yet there are billions who remain in darkness, ignorant of the true light. And that's true in Wales today. The majority of people in Wales have not come to Jesus Christ. For them, he is not the light of the world. For them, he is an unknown quantity, and God is as if he didn't exist. But the truth is, the light shines, even if the darkness does not comprehend it. And the darkness will never overcome the light of the world. Now, at Christmas time, we use lights to brighten up the long, dark nights of winter. I'm sure you love lights. You love putting your lights upon the tree in your front room. It's pretty to see. It's lovely to drive around the streets and you look into some people's windows and there you see that tree glistening. Or people decorate their homes on the outside and the inside with lights. You go into our streets, in the high streets of our towns, and sometimes we just go there to look. It's beautiful. But then we think of the Christmas story laid out for us in the Bible. We think of that dark night when the shepherds were on the hillside and suddenly the sky lit up with a glorious light. The glory of the God shone around as those angels appeared to the shepherds. And our minds also go to that great star that the wise men followed. Something beautiful and mysterious about it. It led those wise men to the very place where Jesus was in Bethlehem. The Christmas story is full of light. But you know, it's not so much about the shepherds or about the wise men. It's about the baby in the stable in Bethlehem. We sometimes sing in that carol, "Silent Night, radiant beams from thy holy face at the dawn of redeeming grace." Poetic words. Poetic words, we're not to think of that literally, but speaking that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Though he was a babe in Bethlehem, he would grow up. He would show men the way to God, show men and women what was the path to God. He would bring men and women and boys and girls out of the darkness of sin, out of the slavery of sin, out of the bondage of sin. He would work in men and women's hearts. He would change them on the inside. He would bring them out of the darkness of sin into his marvelous light. He was born as the light of this world, and there is no one like him. Jesus understood who he was. John chapter 8, verse 12, he said this, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." What a glorious promise to anybody who surrenders their desire to please themselves in life and to live for themselves, but decides to surrender their life to Jesus Christ and follow him, continuing in your daily life, your daily walk, your daily job, your daily chores, caring for your family and all the normal things of life. But Jesus, you are following. He says to such, they have the light of life. Jesus said this in John chapter 9, verse 2. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." That was his claim. It was either true or false. It was either outrageously audacious to claim that he alone was the light of the world and no one was, or it's a glorious truth to believe and hold on to. Jesus was fulfilling ancient prophecy when he came into this world. Isaiah said this, "In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Jesus walked the streets of Galilee. He walked beside that lake of Galilee. And the people there flocked to hear him. They saw that he was like no other person. He taught like no other person. He had authority like no other. He performed miracles that no one else could do. He could still a storm with a word. He could heal the leper. The blind man, he could make see. The deaf man, he could enable to hear. The dead, he could raise to life. He was the great light, and he came to Galilee the Gentiles, as the prophet foretold. The prophet said this, "Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a great light has dawned." And you know, we're in the land of the shadow of death. We're a dying people. We're a mortal people. We're not immortal. We will all face death. We will all pass through the valley of the shadow of death. But for those who have Christ in their lives, who have Jesus in their lives, they need not fear any evil, for he is with them. The prophet said this to Israel: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." There is no other greater message than this in all the world. The politicians are so hollow, aren't they? All they can do is promise you better education if they happen to have enough money. All they can do is promise you better health care if they possibly can. But they cannot offer you eternal life. They cannot deal with your soul and with your sin. They cannot heal you on the inside. They can do nothing spiritually for you. But Christ has come in order to deal with your heart, in order to change you, in order to bring light to your life. No one compares with Jesus. There was the forerunner who came before him, John the Baptist. Jesus said of him that he was a burning and a shining lamp because he pointed the way to the Messiah. But he was not the light. He was simply sent to bear witness to the light. Jesus is the light of the world who gives light to every man coming into this world. No one compares to Jesus. You go to any religion, you look at Buddha, does not compare to Jesus. You look at the people of this world who we look up to. Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King. Some look up to Mary. All of these pale into insignificance when they're put next to the very Son of God, the light of the world. Why? Well, the Bible says this: in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What an amazing claim. In this child, in the stable, in the manger, in Bethlehem, in that animal feeding trough, lies all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Bible says in him is no darkness at all. He was born without sin of a virgin, and he lived a perfect life of obedience. We've sung that we would want to be mild and obedient, good as he, but we can never be like him, never. He rendered perfect obedience to his parents, perfect obedience to his Father in heaven. All his motives, all his thoughts, all his actions were pure continually. This is the Son of God, sinless, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. There is no one like him. He is the light of the world. No wonder when the wise men came eventually, and there was now the little infant, that they bowed down before him and worshipped him. Here are intelligent men, who were men who were studious, who were men who had prestige, had position. And they come and they bow down before the tiny infant. And they offer him gifts. They offer him gold because they see him to be a king. They offer him frankincense that was used in worship because he is to be worshipped. And we will see shortly why they offered him myrrh also. Jesus understood who he was, and the wise men understood who he was. But do you understand who he is? He is fully God, and he is fully man. He is the Son of God, and only he can give hope to the hopeless. Who do you consider hopeless? Maybe you look at somebody addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, no friends, living on the streets. Maybe you see the hopeless person as somebody who's miserable in a far-off country in a war-torn situation. Maybe you see the hopeless as somebody who is in the midst of famine and has no future prospects. You see the hopeless as somebody who has a terrible disease. But you know, without God, all men are without hope in this world. But Christ is the hope to those who are just living for the day and for the hour, for a good time, to live it up, to drink and have fun, and that's all life is. But really it's hopeless, and there's an emptiness that a person knows and they feel in their soul, and they try and get rid of the notion of God. They're hopeless, but Christ is the hope of the hopeless. He comes to offer eternal life to the bruised and the battered and those who know that they're sinners and know that they need remaking and restoring. Those who know and understand that they need God in their lives. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of honor. He is the light of the world. And however you feel this evening, he is worthy of all praise and honor for who he is, the Son of God. But let's consider a little further. Why is it that we're in darkness? Well, don't we have the witness of creation? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows forth his handiwork. Can we not see that there is a God in heaven? Do we not just merely need to look at the stars and the sun and the moon and the flowers and the birds and consider the natural wonder and realize this could not have come by chance? What a foolish idea. Absolutely foolish. That through randomness we should have such complexity and beauty and intricacy. We have the witness of creation. We have the witness of conscience as well. You have the voice of conscience. Where did that come from? Where do the pangs of conscience come? The accusations of conscience when you've done wrong. Has not God put that there? You can't explain it in terms of chemicals. And what's more, God has put eternity in the hearts of every one of us. Every one of us has a sense of God. Every one of us. So why are we in darkness? Why is it that we do not love God? Why is it that we do not honor him, please him? Why is it that we live as if God does not exist? Why is it that we worship the creature rather than the creator? We put a celebrity up there, a family member here. We put ourselves at the center of everything. Why is it? What's wrong with our hearts? We love smuttiness rather than purity, self-indulgence rather than selflessness, self-promotion. That's our society today. It's a Facebook world of self-promotion. It's an apprentice world of self-promotion. It's a strictly come dancing world of self-promotion. It's about me and my glitter and my glory. Why are we like this? Why do we love ourselves rather than God? Why are we like this? The Bible tells us it's sin. We have sinful hearts. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. We don't want to face the reality. We don't want to face God. We don't want our lives to come up before the radiant glory of God, and we don't want our darkness to be exposed, and so we prefer our sin. But oh, if we only understood that Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. He came as a light not only to expose our sinfulness, but he came as a light to bring us out of our darkness and to reveal the character of God, the love of God. We have good news at Christmas. The good news is that light has come into this world and the darkness has not overcome it. The prophet said this, speaking of Jesus as Savior, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from the prison house, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And so Jesus came, and he found people in their sin, in degradation, in the prison house of sin, and he released them. A woman who'd had a man after a man after a man and was just living for self and was a mess and could never be satisfied. Jesus came and forgave her and changed her life. Tax collectors who were hated by society with frauds and thieves, Jesus sat and ate with them and transformed so many lives. And Jesus went to a cruel cross. And out of amazing pity and love, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You cannot separate Christmas from Easter. The two go hand in hand. He was born to die. You see, the wise men came with three gifts: gold for a king, frankincense used in worship because he was God. But myrrh, why myrrh? Myrrh was used for the embalming of bodies in burials. You see, that act of the wise men was prophetic. They were saying he's born to die. And Jesus willingly, the Son of God, voluntarily gave his life upon a cruel cross. He took the sin of all who believe in him to himself. And he took the dread judgment of God against sin upon himself. Such was his love for sinners. How does he bring people out of the prison house of sin? How does he bring people out of darkness into light? By paying the penalty of sin upon the cross at Calvary. He was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life, offered that perfect life upon the cross as a payment for sin. The Father in heaven accepted that offering. And all who believe in Jesus Christ are forgiven of their sins. And all who believe in him are clothed in his very righteousness and spotless purity. And all who believe in him are brought out of darkness and come into his marvelous light. How about you this evening? Why are you celebrating Christmas? Is it just a nice story about a baby in Bethlehem that became some sort of example for mankind? But that's all. Well, it could have been somebody else, couldn't it? Could be just Muhammad will follow. Buddha will follow. Gandhi will follow. Why bother? Well, it's our Christian heritage. We'll follow this example of Jesus. But what good will that do you? Just seeking to follow some good person. It's not enough. He is the light of the world who came to deal with you on the inside to transform your life. Will you bow to him? Will you worship him? Will you honor him? He deserves all praise. He deserves all glory. He deserves all majesty. He is the light of the world. Oh, that you would come to his light today. Amen.